I'm now joined by Mark Walsh from ASTI, Association of Secondary Teachers in Ireland. He's actually the Standing Committee Rep for Region 17, which is Dublin, North East and Fingal. He's going to be talking about revised arrangements for junior cycle. So good afternoon, Mark, and thanks for joining us today.
Good afternoon.
First of all, Mark, before we discuss the junior cycle arrangements, tell us how you're getting on with current, you know, restrictions in place.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, I don't mind them too much. I mean, you know, we're working from home. Most teachers are working from home and we're on the PC during the day. You know, we're setting work for students. We're, you know, doing corrections and that kind of thing. So, you know, it does feel like there's some routine anyway. I mean, it's obviously not the same, but there is some kind of routine, you know, where, you know, there's some continuity at least. I mean, it's not ideal, obviously, but we're getting on with it, you know.
It's very strange times indeed. Mark, as announced by Minister McHugh last week, all third year junior cycle students will be awarded state certificates for the completion of the junior cycle by the Department of Education and Skills. And also schools will be given autonomy to assess students who will, you know, receive a report on achievement. And also adult learners will have the opportunity to take final exams in autumn. What's your view on this, Mark, on the decision?
Yeah, generally, I think the overall arrangements are quite good, and the ASTI, we had a lot of input into the final outcome. So, for example, the awarding of a state certificate, that was an idea put forward by the ASTI in advance of the negotiations that took place to reach this outcome. So we felt that what we were suggesting was that all students should be given a state certificate in June. Just listing the subjects that they've done without grades, but just you know, a state certificate recognising the completion of the 3 years of junior cycle. Now, as it turns out in the final document, that's going to happen in the new school year, but it's more or less the same. You know, it does kind of act as a kind of a capstone to their 3 years of junior cycle, and we think it's a good outcome because they'll have a recognised state certificate as opposed to just something from their school, you know.
Yes, well, I guess it's probably, you know, the best option for the well-being of students to allow them enjoy summer 2020, you know, without the pressure of exams hanging over their heads.
Yeah, I mean, in so many ways it's the best decision, because for students, obviously, the, you know, it wouldn't be good to have them worried about their exams over the summer, also the big gap over the summer, and to try and, you know, go straight into exams cold in September, you know, wouldn't be a good idea either. And then also you had all the practical problems with, let's say, like, school has given the Department of Education papers them and has to do it in their own way. So school A has their English exam on a Monday and school B has their English exam on a Tuesday, and then school B gets to find out what was on the paper by talking to school A, and any sort of objectivity or, you know, you wouldn't be able to ensure exam conditions then in September. And also, just, I mean, my view is that it's going to be very difficult, you know, getting the new school year up and running, never mind trying to finish the old school year. So it'd be terrible to be trying to get the new school year running in September without having to worry about how to finish off the previous school year, you know. So that's another reason why I think there was a general consensus, really, it seemed, just gradually emerged, that it just wouldn't be practical for schools to have the hangover of the junior cycle into September. So it's the right decision. In terms of schools making their own, schools having the autonomy to decide how to finish out this current school year, again, we agree with that, because, you know, a lot of the agreement does specify that most of the weighting should be given to work that was done prior to the closing of schools on the 12th of March, in acknowledgement of the fact that not every student has the ICT resources at home. We talk about the digital divide and how some students don't even have laptops. So some of them have found it very difficult to continue with their schoolwork in the absence of those ICT facilities. And also maybe they have, you know, some of the older ones maybe have childminding duties for the parents who are at work, and or other issues related to COVID-19. So, like, it's it's only fair that most of the waiting would go for work that they did prior to the school closures, and that some waiting would obviously go to the work that they've done over the past while at home, you know.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. Also, as soon as possible after the end of the school term, the students will receive a written report on their learning achievements in each subject or short course, whatever the case may be. Would this not be difficult, though, for teachers to assess, like bearing in mind the loss of about, you know, a whole of the final term in the academic year?
What the agreement allows is for teachers to draw on a broad range of previous assessments. So, like, for example, Christmas exams that would have been done in the past, maybe in second year, projects. There's even mention of being able to draw on classroom-based assessments that were done in short courses. There's a whole lot of things that can be included in arriving, for example, at a composite result. So you take the various different assessments that you've done over the past, say, 2 or 3 years, you average them or put them into some sort of composite result, and then add on any final exam that you do in the last couple of weeks in May, you know. So yes, let's say, for example, you had a 70% waiting for work that was done previously, and maybe a 30% waiting for any work that is done now, and the final exam, the final school exam at the end of May, you know.
Yes, and of course, you know, teachers know quite well, you know, their students from the previous number of months that they have been in class. So that would help as well, yeah. Schools given the autonomy to decide on running schools-based assessments. Tell us, Mark, about the various options, like the projects, assignments and so on.
I know I've been having meetings in my own school, for example, and we've been talking about how we would use... One thing for the third year students is that we would have done a mock exam back in March, and the mock exam is an example of an exam that's standardised, relatively standardised, compared to the final exam that they would have been sitting in June. And so obviously that mock exam, you would give greater weighting to that mock exam because it's a full paper involving listening, reading and writing, for example, in the case of languages. It's a full exam equivalent to what they would do in June. So obviously that should be given, we would give that a fairly heavy weighting, and then we would look at maybe the Christmas exam, which we did just before Christmas last year, and then maybe the previous year's Christmas exam. And then you could take into account any class tests that were done, you could take into account if a student had to do certain projects, and any results that you had, you know, accumulated over the 3 years. So, you know, it'll vary from teacher to teacher and from subject to subject. You know, so, but like you said, I mean, I think I agree that, you know, teachers will know what to use to come to a reasonable judgment as to what overall percentage a student should get, you know.
Mark, I'm not sure how this works, how it works these days, but in my time, your junior cert results were, you know, they determined which grade of class you would end up in for doing your leaving certificate for the subjects of maths, Irish and English. Is it the same nowadays, or am I behind times? Now, the reason I'm asking is because if it is the same now, then how will teachers assess this, you know, the situation going forward into the leaving cert for, you know, Irish, maths and English?
Yeah, no, it's a good question, and that's one of the reasons why we want to give a high weighting to the mock exams, for example, because the mock exams, if they're similar to the final exam that they would have done in June, whatever result they get in that paper will give you a good indication of whether they should go into higher level or ordinary level in Leaving Cert. So, you know, some schools will have dedicated higher level classes and dedicated ordinary level classes if the school is big enough. But smaller schools might have a blended class that blends higher level and ordinary level together into one class, you know. So for them, it probably won't be such an issue. But for schools that have a dedicated higher level and dedicated ordinary level class, they just need to make sure that whatever prior exams that the students have done, whichever ones they're using, are as close as possible, you know, the equivalent of a final exam that they would have done in June. So that's why, I emphasise the mocks. And also, in my school, we happened to use another mock-style paper for the Christmas exam. So because that was similar to what they would have done in June, that also can be given a certain weighting. So we reckon we'll be able to, and just how we know the students, we reckon we'll be able to decide who goes into higher level and ordinary level, because often actually what happens is that you know, the junior cert results don't come out until the end of September, or middle of end of September. It was later this year, just gone. But say the middle of September, and when teachers coming back, teachers come back in August, already we have to make the decisions then as to who we think will go into higher level and who we think will go into ordinary level. And often when the official results come out from the State Examinations Commission in the middle to the end of September, it often confirms what we already believed and where the student, which level the student should be heading into, you know, because you'd kind of have a, you'd kind of have a sense of it yourself, but you always want that kind of, you know, gold standard kind of confirmation of the state exams to kind of confirm your decision as to where you put students when, say, two teachers are deciding, like, who's going to take the higher level, who's going to take the ordinary level, and which students are going to be in it. When you're at that meeting, you know, the two teachers, if they've had the students previously, would have a good idea of who's heading for higher level and who's heading for ordinary level, but you don't want to make that final decision. And, you know, you can move students around ultimately when you see the state exam results, because the student might have done a lot better than you had thought previously, or they may have done worse or whatever. So you kind of need to, before the class fully settles, you need to have a look at the state exams and see whether you were right to put them in higher level or right to put them in ordinary level, or whether they need to be moved at that stage, you know.
Yes, I understand where you're coming from. And in fact, it's quite a good idea to use the Christmas exams results as they were, you know, based on a mock junior cert anyway.
Quite a in our case idea. Anyway, other schools may have done differently, but in our case we did based on a mock.
No, good idea, yeah. As mentioned earlier, adult learners, they'll have the opportunity now to take final junior cycle exams in autumn. What's your view on this?
Yeah, I mean, you kind of don't think of it. Kind of was something adult learners kind of for the junior cert wouldn't really be on your radar, I suppose, because we're always dealing with you know, with teenagers up to 15, 16, you know, and you almost forget that there are actually adult learners out there who would be doing the junior cert and leaving cert as well. Yeah, I see that they're saying there'll be arrangements for the adult learners to do the exam in an official way sometime in the autumn. Now, obviously, with the COVID restrictions, and we don't know what the situation is going to be like at that point, you know, how soon that happens is an open question. But I suppose for adult learners, they may not be waiting on the result to go on to the next stage of learning. They may just have wanted to do it retrospectively. I'm not sure. Like, they, I'd imagine the result wouldn't be as urgent for the adult learners as it would be for students, you know, to determine which level they go into next year, you know.
Right, so we leave it at that, Mark. And again, thanks for joining us today. All the very best to you and take care. Now, that was Mark Walsh from ASTI talking about revised arrangements for Junior Cycle 2020.